If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to comedy writer Simon Rich, who also sticks around for a few more questions backstage just for this podcast. But first, let's hear Seth hold the White House's feet to the fire.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders hasn't been holding many press briefings lately, so we decided to hold one of our own right here, right now. That's right. Sarah Huckabee Sanders and the Late Night Press Corps are here in our studio and ready to go. So without further ado, it's time for the Late Night White House Press Briefing. Sarah, yes, Sarah. Sarah, over here. Sarah. Sarah, please. Sarah. Yes, thank you. Seth Meyers, Late Night with Seth Meyers. Secretary Sanders, when was the last time you told the truth?
Nearly 2 years ago.
What will President Trump do if Robert Mueller finds him to have broken the law?
Change the law.
What's the one thing that makes the job of press secretary the most difficult?
Everything that this president does.
Secretary Sanders, I have a question about you. Where the flip are you from?
From flipping Arkansas.
What's the only way we're going to be able to get through the Trump presidency?
The legalization of all drugs anywhere.
Dr. Ronnie Jackson put President Trump on a diet last year. How's that going?
Lasted about a half hour.
What's the most exciting part of the president's job?
Being a Russian spy.
What happens when the president sees a door labeled pull?
President Trump will continue to push.
What does this administration do when they discover Russians attempting to hack into our voting systems?
We encourage them.
What does President Trump call bras?
Support things.
What did Donald Trump say to Putin after the 2016 election?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Change of topics. Sports question. What did you think of Michael Jordan's famous step-back shot to defeat the Utah Jazz in Game 6 of the 1998 NBA Finals?
He was traveling.
When you're looking for Melania, where's the one place you know for sure she isn't?
Under President Trump.
What does President Trump currently have aimed at the cast of The View?
90% of the world's nuclear weapons.
How many U.S. states can the president name off the top of his head?
So far, 18 states.
Why did you stop watching HBO's Westworld?
Virtually all Americans agree that it makes no sense.
Explain why we keep giving Justin Bieber so many chances.
We've been very nice to Canada for many years, and they've taken advantage of that.
Yeah, they have. They took advantage. What did President Trump say to talk Stormy Daniels into bed?
This will only last a short amount of time.
How do they get President Trump to leave the Golden Corral all-you-can-eat buffet?
Sometimes that's through voluntary removal, and sometimes that's through expedited removal.
Complete this phrase. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States and Russia.
All right, looks like we're out of time. So on behalf of the rest of the press corps, have a good night.
Before we move on, we wanted to let you know that this Friday, we'll release the final edition of our Summer Friday series of the Late Night Podcast. In the episode, you'll hear an exclusive interview between Seth Meyers and Jason Kander, who is running for mayor of Kansas City and hosts the podcast Majority 54. Plus, there will be more original content produced just for the podcast. Don't miss the episode in the Late Night Podcast feed on Friday.
Our guest is an Emmy-nominated writer and novelist who has worked on such shows as Saturday Night Live, The Simpsons, and Man Seeking Woman. His new book, Hits and Misses, is available now. Please welcome back to the show our good friend Simon Rich, everybody. Buddy.
Thanks so much. So great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we met at SNL. We wrote there together. You wrote with two people most of the time, Marika Sawyer and John Mulaney. And then John Mulaney went back and hosted, and I thought it was lovely. You and Marika went back and wrote there all week.
Yeah, it was so fun. It was my first time writing for the show in a while. I wrote for the show in my 20s, and now I was in my 30s. And I was worried that I wouldn't be able to keep up with the pace and the late nights, but it was really exciting and fun, and I felt like I had a handle on it, and I even went to the party at the end, and then I went home, and I was unconscious for basically a month.
Yeah.
It was like my body had been hit by a train. I woke up, it was a different season, and I don't know how we did more than 20 a year. It seems completely insane.
Yeah, it's a far better job for a younger person who rebounds quicker than it is for as you get older.
And also, it was like our for a lot of us, it was our first TV job. And then you go on to other TV shows and you realize it doesn't have to be live.
Yeah, right.
Like, they could film. They could record it.
Yeah.
Film it.
You know, you that way you wouldn't have to stay up so late.
Yeah,
you do it in the afternoon.
Do it the next day.
Yeah. You since the last time you're here, you have a beautiful baby girl. It's 14 months, right?
15 months.
15
now.
Months.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very
That's
much.
So awesome.
Thanks so much. Congrats to you.
Thank you. How do you find parenthood so far?
It's amazing, as you know. It's incredible. It's also, you know, you're always worried you're gonna mess it up. People talk a lot now about fake news, and I always think, like, nobody has more fake news than our one-year-old girl, because her only source for information is me and my wife, and we're, like, her Fox News. Like, we're the only information she gets. It's wildly misleading and insane sometimes, but, like, we sing to her a lot, and she thinks the lyrics to every song is something, something, na, na, na. But it's also fun, because and it's tempting sometimes to lie to her, because you have that power. Like, we have this big ceramic pig that somebody gave us. It's like on a high shelf, and sometimes my wife and I will be like, should we tell her that's God? Because she would take it, and then, I mean, I don't know what it would do to her, but it would be a fascinating thing.
Yeah, we lie all the time. My wife doesn't like when I lie to my son, but anytime he asks for anyone that isn't in the room, I just say they're sleeping.
It's great.
He's like, where's Mama? Mama's sleeping. Everyone's sleeping. Let's go to bed.
He's going to become a narcolepsy doctor.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to fix this,
this awful,
nightmare
awful problem.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your 7th book, which is incredible.
Thank you.
And there's so many great short stories in here. There was one that was printed in The New Yorker that I actually texted you about because I love so much. Written from the perspective of Paul Revere's horse. When did you get this idea, and how quickly were you delighted by the logic that would follow out?
I saw a statue of Paul Revere somewhere, and he was on this horse, and Paul Revere looked very stately and dignified, and the horse looked very unhappy. And I just started to think, wouldn't it be fun to write a bitter tell-all celebrity memoir from the perspective of this horse? And he's justly upset, because, you know, Paul Revere, you know, the midnight ride, really famous, but the horse, whose name is Oatsy, really deserves more credit for the ride since he physically did all of the riding.
Yeah.
And then in the end, Paul just kind of yelled a thing. And now Paul Revere is has high schools named after him and statues, and the horse has been turned into glue. So it seems completely
yeah, it seems
unfair.
Very unfair.
Yeah.
It was nice to read that story. I took Oatsy's side hardcore on that one.
Thank you.
This is very exciting as well. You have a television show coming that's based on one of your books, Miracle Workers. Steve Buscemi plays God.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
He's great. I can't wait for people to see it. He's so funny on the show. Yeah, he plays God as a guy in the midst of a full-blown midlife crisis. He's the founder and CEO of Heaven Incorporated, which is the gigantic corporation in the sky that runs Earth, and it's a total mess. He's got an inbox full of unanswered prayers that are so messed up and weird, he can't even bear to look at them. And so in the first episode, he decides he's not going to throw good money after bad. He's going to blow up the Earth and then open up a theme restaurant. And then Daniel Radcliffe plays one of the angels who has to try to convince him not to do it.
That's fantastic. What a wonderful premise. And you, religion has always been something that I feel like you've always found ripe for work comedy premise.
Yes. That comes from growing up going to Hebrew school and reading the Bible at a very early age, which, if you actually read it, it's pretty screwed up and violent and crazy. But it's also through the right lens, it can also be very funny. For example, my favorite story in the Bible is when God appears to Abraham. Abraham, according to the Bible, is 99 years old. And God appears and says, "I'm the Lord thy God." So Abraham is like, whoa, okay. And then the very next thing God says, without missing a beat, is circumcise your penis. He goes straight to it. So it's this 99-year-old man. He's just met God, and now he's got to do this thing. And so the whole Bible is just full of madness. And I always thought, you know, isn't it funny to imagine somebody with all this power who is a little bit irrational?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so excited we got to cast Steve Buscemi.
That is a perfect person to encapsulate that. Thank you so much for being here, buddy.
Thanks so much.
Congrats on the book.
Thank
I can't
you.
Wait for the show. Simon Rich, everybody. Hits and Misses available now.
Hey, this is Kevin. We are backstage with Simon Rich. Hey, Simon.
Hey, how you doing?
Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So this is your seventh book, Hits and Misses, book of short stories. The first one in there is called Baby. It's a very funny story. I mean, they're all very funny, but can you give the premise of this story?
Cool, yeah. So that one is, it's about a struggling novelist, and his wife is pregnant, and they do a sonogram, and they see a penis, so they say, you know, they know, okay, it's a boy. And then they inspect the sonogram a little bit more, and they see a pencil, and they're a little confused, and the doctor explains that it means that it's a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And you gradually learn that this fetus from within the womb is writing what appears to be the great American novel.
Mm-hmm.
And the father tries not to be jealous, but it's hard not to be because this unborn fetus is clearly a genius.
Yeah.
And is outstripping him in every conceivable way.
Right. One of the details is that they're turning his office into the nursery.
That's
the
right. That's yeah. right. And so he's in a race to finish his novel before the baby is born. And it's sort of a story about him kind of gradually learning that sometimes you need to pass the baton to mm-hmm. the next generation, as hard as that is.
Yeah. You were saying that you're constantly writing short stories, working on short stories. How long did this book take you to write, and what's your process for writing these books?
My process has always been quantity over quality. As you remember from Saturday Night Live, my logic was always, if I just churn out enough premises, some of them will be strong enough to justify writing as scenes mm-hmm. or sketches or stories. And so I generate hundreds of these short stories, and I basically focus group them amongst my friends and and my editors mm-hmm. and editors of different magazines, anyone who's willing to read them. And we just whittle down the pile.
Yeah.
And when we have enough stories that we are confident in, then we put out a collection. This one took about 4 years.
Okay.
And the stuff in the book probably represents like 20 to 30% of what I wrote for it.
When you were at SNL, were there any short stories that you had that you turned into sketches, or were there sketches that you never got on there that you've subsequently turned into short stories?
You know, it's really strange how rarely that has happened. I think it's just a different language.
Yeah.
Sketch comedy is so specific. Obviously, it's extremely performance-based. But also, there's something about prose when you're writing short stories. It's a little bit intimate. It's a little bit softer. You're hearing people's thoughts. You're using language to kind of create an environment and a mood, and they're more narrative. They mm-hmm. need to have like more plot-driven turns. Mm-hmm. So it's a slightly different beast than sketch comedy, although like there are also a lot of similarities.
Did you write a lot growing up?
Yeah, my whole life I was obsessed with writing. My favorite writer when I was a kid was Roald Dahl,
mm-hmm.
and he still is. My mother, for a recent birthday, gave me a framed homework assignment from first grade where the assignment was, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a writer like Roald Dahl.
Oh, wow.
He's my favorite writer. I want to write books just like his. And it's now hanging on my wall, and I still have the same ambition. It's just to rip that guy off as much as possible.
You also talked a little with Seth about your new show coming up, Miracle Workers, it's called.
Yes.
With Steve Buscemi playing the part of God. Can you tell us a little bit more about the show?
Yeah, so he plays God, the founder and CEO of Heaven Incorporated, which is the gigantic corporation in the sky that manages Earth, and it's a total mess. It's, you know, disorganized and inefficient and vast, and God's got a towering inbox full of unanswered prayers that he can't even bear to look at because they're all doozies. And so he decides he's going to do the logical thing, which is to blow up the Earth and pursue his new dream, which is to open up a novelty theme restaurant. And two hardworking angels, played by Daniel Radcliffe and Geraldine Viswanathan, they have to convince him to keep it open. And they work in the Department of Answered Prayers, which is the lowest of the low, a tiny, tiny little department in the basement. They're in charge of answering all human prayers. So billions and billions come in a day, and they can maybe get to two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a bet with God that if they can answer one of those prayers in his inbox, he'll spare Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got 2 weeks to pull it off or the world explodes. And a lot of the prayers are impossible. They're like, you know, world peace. So they like throw those in the garbage. We can't do that. But there's one prayer in the box, which they think seems easy, which is that two humans on Earth have both independently prayed to be a couple. They both like each other. They've both prayed to be together. So they think, well, this is a loophole, you know,
mm-hmm.
this is easy. It's basically already there. We just need to, you know, nudge them along. But of course, you know, it proves to be a lot harder than they thought.
Gotcha. Seven episodes?
Seven episodes, yeah. 7.5 hours, which is a sort of a bizarre length. But that's just narratively what it needed. You know, we tried to pad it with filler, but and stretch it out to 10 or 13. Uh-huh. But in the writer's room, we just kind of realized, no, this wants to be short and propulsive. And, you know, it's sort of like 24 was a reference point for us. You know, you're watching the minutes tick by till Armageddon, and you wanted to have that pace and that speed, even though it is a comedy.
Simon, congrats on everything. Congrats on the book. It's available now. Hits and Misses. Go pick it up. It's super funny.
Thank you.
And I look forward to the show.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Simon.
Thank you.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.